Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we've been in the 48th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we've seen that Jacob is about to die, and before he dies, he's blessing his sons. And let me back up just a little bit. Well, let's see, where do I want to start? Okay, before they're going to go back to the land of Israel. You know, when Jacob dies, they're going to take his body back and bury him in the land, and then they're after that. Then Joseph promises Pharaoh that they will all come back and they'll reside in Goshen. And that took place all the way up till the time of Moses and the Exodus. And Joseph brought his sons before Jacob. And let me pick it up here. Okay. And Israel said unto Joseph in verse 11 of the 48th, chapter of Genesis. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, so his sons are young at this point in time, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. Now, so he's got the second born before the left hand of Joseph, and he's got the firstborn before the right hand of Joseph. Now, notice what takes place. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. Well, Ephraim was the second born, so he had to do this. And then to put his hand on the other one, he had to do this. So, what have we got? In the cross, the natural man is born again, you know, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he receives the blessing. The firstborn represents, you know, our natural birth. In this world, we're born dead in trespasses and in sin. And in the scripture, very often as we go through, we see like Abraham was the secondborn son. Right through the scriptures, secondborn, secondborn, secondborn. And the secondborn gets the blessing when in the natural world, Who becomes king of England? The eldest son, okay? Or in any place where there's a kingdom, it's always, by natural right of progression and inheritance, it's the firstborn. But in the economy of God, by our first birth or our natural birth, we're dead in trespasses and sin. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. So we have a relationship with God. And each one of us at some point in time heard the gospel preached. And when it was preached, God had to make it alive or quicken it to our hearts so that we could believe it. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So, in this world, by our natural birth, we do not have an inheritance in the things of God. Israel, by their natural birth, really doesn't have an inheritance in the things of God. God uses Israel, you know, but as we look at Joseph's blessings of the sons of Jacob, we're going to see a motley crew, you know, and we're going to say, how in the world can they be the chosen of God? But Israel represents us. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. So in our relationship with God, there's no human merit. And the only thing that we can be rewarded for is what we do by faith. You know, the just shall live by faith, and the law is what? It's not of faith. So touch not, taste not, handle not. People, you know, try to order their lives. And it's always best to do good rather than to do evil. But the very best that we can do would still leave us short of the glory of God. You know, that's why the scripture says you must be born again or born from above. So then, as we continue down now, it says, and his father refused. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head. Ephraim is the second born. And Joseph, who in so many respects represents the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry, you know, being a savior to the nation of Israel, rejected of his brethren, put into a pit, speaks of the burial of the Lord, coming up out of a pit, speaks of the resurrection of the Lord. But nevertheless, Joseph is a natural man. And as a natural man, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We cannot, at any point in time, saved or unsaved, parade our righteousness before God. We haven't got any that's acceptable to God. We have to be born from above. And Jesus, when he dealt with Nicodemus, well, let's turn over to the third chapter of John. Third chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, we don't see this in our translation of the scriptures. Of course, scriptures were written in Greek and translated in our King James Bible, translated into English. And it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That is, he was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council. Yeah. And we're going to find out more about him here in just a couple of verses. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or, you know, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, here's a man, you know, a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council, which the council as a whole, rejected our Lord Jesus Christ. They would not receive him. You know. But the chief scholar in Israel was in the Sanhedrin at that point in time was Nicodemus. We don't see that in our English translation, but I'll point it out when we get to it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, as translated born again, is really born from above. You have to have a heavenly birth. We have a natural birth on the earth, but we have to have a birth that comes from above. Then without that birth from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's thinking completely in the natural. You know? And how does a big strapping guy, you know, it's not possible. You know? And so Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You know, or he's using natural things here. And the translators translated it water and spirit, where it probably should have been translated water or rain and wind. Except a man be born of the wind and of the rain, he can't see the kingdom of God. And that baffles Nicodemus. So, And so Jesus answered, verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the wind." See, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. The Greek word for wind is pneuma. Now, he's giving us a natural thing to teach us a spiritual truth. So the translators miss that, and, you know, they just assume that it should be spirit everywhere. But we'll see as Jesus proceeds that it's a natural thing that reveals a spiritual truth. And we'll see a lot of that in the things that Joseph says to the sons of Israel. Okay. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. A natural birth can only produce natural life. Okay. Except a man be born of water and of the wind. We're putting wind there for spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now he's speaking a parable to him. Unless you're born of wind and the rain, you can't enter the kingdom. Now that's going to baffle anybody that would read it that doesn't have the Spirit of God indwelling them. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, or that which is born of the wind, is spirit. See? So, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born from above. Okay? The wind bloweth where it listeth. You know, and the other night we had a little rain, and I noticed as I drove down one of the roads I'd come down to come to the church, there were lots of fir leaves or needles on the ground and bark and stuff that blew off of the trees during the night. So the wind blows where it wills, you know, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Can you, you know, why are weathermen wrong so much of the time? They don't know what the wind is going to do. So they can, with all of their, you know, satellite stuff that we have now, they can look at the earth from the heavens and see the a storm movement coming in. But they don't know if it's going to continue in the same direction. You know, being a weatherman, you can be wrong most of the time and still keep your job. I never had a job like that. Okay. So, the wind blows where it wills, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So now we're comparing, you know, the wind seems to have its own way. Okay, well, the Spirit of God has his own way. And so he says, okay, and Nicodemus answered and said unto him, by this time his head's aching, how can this be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master? Now, if we could read that in Greek, art thou the chief rabbi in Israel? The head teacher. The scholar. Yeah. In Israel. And knowest not these things? In your position in the Sanhedrin as the chief rabbi, and the people would quote Nicodemus, like Hillel and other rabbis down through the history of Israel. And, you know, so Jesus asked him, you know, art thou the chief rabbi in Israel and you don't know these things? What's that suggest? He should know them. Okay. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Jesus answered and said unto him, I read that, verse 11, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. In other words, Jesus will say, I speak that which I know. Okay? And same thing with us. You know, Eric studies, prepares to preach before us. I study and prepare. I can't put the time in that I used to because I sleep most of the day. It's just my heart's been out of rhythm for 3 years, and so it's rocking and rolling, and so it's not beating very efficiently, and so I'm not getting all the oxygen that I need, and so it's real easy to sleep, and it bothers me because I see things that need to be done, and never in the past would I ask anybody to do anything. Now I have to ask someone to do almost everything. You know, it's just part of old age, folks. And I'll be around as long as the Lord wants me here, and then he'll say, come up hither. So he said, if you verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you receive not our witness. I changed that just a little bit, so it would be the way we would say it. If I've told you earthly things about wind and rain, those are earthly things, aren't they? See, that's why we know, if we go back to where he started, it should have been translated wind and rain rather than, or wind and water rather than putting, you know, pneuma can mean wind and pneuma can mean spirit, you know, or breath, okay? All right. So, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. The Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking with Nicodemus, but he would say he's in heaven because our God's an omnipresent God. And we don't understand omnipresence. How can you be everywhere present at once? Well, the natural man hasn't a solution to that, so he tends to scoff at it. You know, what we don't know or what we can't understand, we have a tendency to write it off. You know, and but we're talking about God the Son of God, very God of God. And just because Jesus had an earthly ministry didn't make him void of his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence. Omniscience means omniscience. He knows everything. Omnipotence, all-powerful. He can do anything that's consistent with his will. And omnipresent, he's everywhere present at once. Now, they certainly saw Jesus go from place to place. You know, but as God, he's omnipresent. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Remember when the Jews got ready to go into the land after 40 years in the wilderness. And all of the people that came out of Egypt, all of the adults from, I can't remember now whether it's from 20 years old and upward, they all died in the wilderness. And everyone up to 20, and I haven't looked at this for a while. It could be including 20. I'm not certain. But they weren't held accountable. They were dependent upon their parents for the decisions that were made. And so we know that there is such a thing as an age of accountability. And some of us, you know, are quickened by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and come to know the Lord early in life. My three children did. By 6 years of age would be the latest. They had already trusted the Lord as their Savior. But as Eric has testified and as I've testified, I wasn't saved till I was 21 years of age. You know? And so, you know, God does performs his will in his time, and faith comes out by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal or everlasting, unending life. Now, we all know that we have to, you know, this body has to die. because this body was involved in sin, and it was born of Adam, and the blood that flows in this body of ours came from Adam. All people get their blood from their father. Now, blood types can be different and so forth, but we get our blood from our father. We don't get one drop of our blood from our mother. And in fact, in a pregnancy, if somehow or other the mother's bloodstream gets mixed with the baby's bloodstream, you usually have a miscarriage and death. Okay. So, the life of the flesh is in the blood. We have natural life because of the blood of Adam. Therefore, we're born dead in trespasses and sin because Adam gives us corrupted blood. So, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolish unto him. Neither can he know them. So then, in life, through the preaching of the Word of God, faith comes how? It comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. Now, the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. So, we talk about the foolishness of preaching. We preach a message which the unsaved of this world cannot possibly understand. But as it goes forth, with the Spirit of God active, God at a point in time can quicken or make that word alive to them and give them enough faith to believe. And then, of course, indwelt by the Spirit of God and hearing sound preaching, reading the Word of God, we can do what? We can grow in grace. And our relationship with God is entirely a relationship of grace, which is unmerited favor. Now, the Jews, because of the law, people look for merit in the Jews. And as we're going to see in these sons that are going to be blessed, we're going to see they were a motley crew. There's not much about them that you can mind that you could call good. So, that whosoever believeth in them should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what kind of life?
Everlasting
or eternal life. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now, the fact that he kept the law and no one else could, that brought self-condemnation to a lot of people, and the Jews didn't like it. That's one of the reasons that they crucified him. You know, because he would point out their faults. Well, if you never have your faults pointed out, then you go merrily on your way to hell. You know. Faith comes by hearing, and we have to realize that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. He that believeth on him is not condemned. What does that mean? Everyone that doesn't believe on him is condemned. Yeah. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light, you know, we speak of our Lord as the light of the world, the life of the world, all of these things. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness received it not. Okay. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that maketh evil his own. What is evil? What the natural man thinks is the way to heaven. His knowledge of good and evil. His morality. Yeah. And by morality, no one can be accepted of God. Yeah. All that morality is the devil's law. If you keep these things, and then we have 4,000 forms of that same lie, because I looked up on the internet a while back, how many different moral systems are there in the world? And they said 4,000. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's my source. Okay? But there's, you know, there's lots of things that people believe that are the same, and lots of things that are different. And then, you know, Some believe in idolatry. They have to have a God that they can look at and see. You know, and millions of people in the Roman Church wear a cross around their neck. If they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that cross speaks of what's going to happen to them, because the cross speaks of a curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And wearing that cross, I'm sure they're not conscious of it, but wearing that cross just says, I've got my trust in that which curses me. And it's sad. Now let's go back to the book of Genesis and look at the blessings of Joseph. And it's interesting. Let's see. So when Jacob had the two sons of Joseph before him, Ephraim and Manasseh, Ephraim is the secondborn, Manasseh is the firstborn, and Joseph tried to guide Jacob's hand because he was old and nearly blind. And he tried to guide his hand to his firstborn, his right hand, and his left hand. And in order to do that, because he had put the firstborn in front of his right hand and the secondborn in front of his left hand, so through the cross, there's a spiritual lesson there. The secondborn blessed above the firstborn. Or the natural birth is cursed, and a spiritual birth, you must. What did Jesus say? You must be born from above or born again. Okay. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, verse 18 of the 48th chapter, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't have an inheritance in the things of God. Now, God's a merciful God. And, children can die in birth. They can die through things that happen in life and never reach an age of accountability. They're like all of those younger, from 19 and under, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. So now they're, right at the age of around 60, 59, and, they are, I'm trying to put this together, they're right down at Jordan, and, they're afraid to cross into the land because they send in spies and they bring back an evil report. And only two of them gave a good report, Joshua and Caleb, and were well able to defeat them. But all the people followed the crowd. So God sent fiery serpents. And what do we mean by fiery serpents? Probably the Egyptian adder, that when you're struck with a poison, it as it flows into your bloodstream, it's very hot. And they cried out, and God said, make a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole and lift it up before the people. And whosoever looks for life shall live. Well, that's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Serpent represents sin. Brass represents judgment. So he who knew no sin became sin for us in order to bear our judgment. And where did he bear it? On a pole or on a tree. And cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So our curse was transposed to Jesus Christ, and he bore the cost of that curse so that we could enter into heaven. The Jews needed to, Moses lifted up the serpent, and everyone that looked did what? They lived. Marvelous. You know, look and live. We sing the song. Look and live, my brother, live. You know, and it's a wonderful thing. All it takes is a look of faith, believing who Jesus is. He's God, and he fulfilled all righteousness, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and died for your sins and mine. There was no cause of death in him, but he died. He bore your judgment and my judgment. So our relationship with the Lord is never based upon what we do. You know, the only thing that we can do to please God is to believe God. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And the promise of God is, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. So, really, everybody's concerned about whether you smoke cigarettes, whether you shoot up some sort of drug, whether you're a prostitute, whether you're a whoremonger, all of these things. Well, we're all of those things. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not one of us can stand before God in the works of our own hands. We're all condemned. Therefore, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born from above. And that takes place for us when the Spirit of God quickens the Word of God to our hearts. So now, the blessings that we wouldn't otherwise have. You know, if you read the giving of the law in the book of Exodus, if you do this, then I'm going to do this for you. And there are all kinds of blessings associated with keeping the law. And not one Jew, you know, born of the natural seed of Adam, not one Jew could live a life well-pleasing to God. The only way we can please God is to believe God. And so as Moses lifted up the serpent, what is that? Our sins being judged on a tree. And whoever looks, lives. And so they went into the land. Okay. Now, comes time to bless Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim is the second born, and he's got Jacob's right hand on his head and the left hand on Manasseh. And his father refused to change his hand. And when you study Scripture, they make a big deal out of Joseph. They say, Joseph is the only Old Testament patriarch that there's not one sin revealed in his life. Well, didn't he try to bless the firstborn above the secondborn? What's the world been trying to do ever since? We don't have a blessing before God because of what we do by faith. You know, the just shall live by faith, and the law is not faith. Okay? And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly he is younger. A brother shall be greater than he, and in his seed shall become a multitude of nations. In other words, there's going to be a vast number of people throughout, ever since the Old Testament saints were saved by looking forward to the cross of Calvary, and we're saved by looking back. It was revealed to them, the law condemned them, the sacrificial system portrayed the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to them. And of course, there's 2,500 years when, there was no temple. There were no priests. The head of the household took that role. So we see that in Cain and Abel. And they both reach an age where they make an offering unto the Lord. And Cain brought of the things which he grew. It must have been beautiful, you know, whether it was flowers and vegetables and so on and so forth, and presented it to the Lord, and the Lord rejected it. And Abel, what did he do? He brought a firstling of the flock, and he slit its throat, shed his blood. And why? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So Abel's offering was accepted of God. And then God said to Cain, if thou doest well, wilt thou not be accepted? Well, we can't do well, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We, by inheritance, receive a sin nature. So it's impossible for any of us to live to God's standard. Now, that doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want to do, you know, with the Spirit of God indwelling us and so forth. There's some modifications of our behavior, but it's never perfect. Never. You know, can you control your thoughts? No. do you ever hate anybody? Well, you're a murderer. Because if you hate somebody, you murdered them. That's what our Lord interprets the law to say. So we look at these things and we say, you know, thank God that he became a man through the virgin birth, lived his life as a Jew, and fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, and gave himself a ransom for sin. And if I believe on him, I have eternal life and I'll never perish. You know, grace, marvelous grace. Okay? And so his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So it's promising that the redeemed are going to come in type from the second born. See, the second born represents a birth from above, whereas the firstborn represents a natural birth. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. They're going to spend, you know, a long time, and they carry up Joseph's bones when Moses and the children of Israel leave Egypt. They take the bones of Joseph along. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I might tell you what shall befall you in the last days, or the latter days, or as time progresses. Gather yourselves together, and gather yourselves together, and hear ye, sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. But then here comes the clincher. Unstable as water. Water mixes with everything. Yeah. Unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, and he went up to my couch. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 35 and verse 22. Okay. Well, let's start at verse 18. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died. We're talking about the death of Rachel. And for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Yeah. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Yeah. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. And Israel journeyed and let's see, I make sure that I haven't miss what I want to see here. Okay, what did I? 35:22, I think. Yeah, 35:22. I just started reading too early. Anyway, and Rachel died, and of course, and Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in the land, that Reuben, now this is the firstborn son, went and lay with Bilhah. You know, Bilhah was one of Jacob's wives, you know, one of the servants, you know, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. See, so, you know, she was a servant, so she couldn't refuse. You know? So the fault's all with Reuben. You know? And, you know, quite a load of sin to bear upon your own shoulders, wouldn't you say? Okay, so this is predicted. Now, we're not going to find anybody in the lineage of Jacob. We're not going to find anybody in that lineage except in type, because Christ was to come from the seed, the tribe of Judah, and he was to be the Redeemer. But with respect to the nation of Israel, in every tribe, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, you remember we dealt with this a while back when we were in the 34th chapter of Genesis, that I can't remember her name. Let's go to the 34th chapter. And Simeon and Levi are our brethren, it says in verse 5, instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Now let's go back to Genesis 34:22 so I can remember. Okay, Dinah. There it is. Okay. And let's see, we want to be 34:25 is where we want to see. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her. So then he wants to marry her. And so they lay out the plan. Where it's in our family, amongst the Jews, we circumcise our males. And if you'll agree to be circumcised, then, you know, let me read you a little bit of this. In verse 13, and the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said to him, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if you will be as we be, and every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughters, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do this thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, so he was perfectly willing to be circumcised. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein, for the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Now, only herein will the men consent unto us, for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised. Okay. as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? And let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, his sons hearkened, all that went out of the gate of his city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of the city. Now, they agreed, and they're going along to become Jews. And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty, according to the blessing that we're getting from Joseph, Dinah's brethren took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. Instruments of cruelty indeed. When the scripture says, you know, we talk about the nation of Israel being God's chosen people. And when the world looks at Israel, they see what we just saw. Yeah. But nobody, no one, no man can be just before God by the works of his own hands. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. To be right before God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has to cleanse us from all sin. For there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Let's pray. Lord, Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us, for this message showing that the nation of Israel was no different than we are. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those of us who have salvation have it by God's grace through faith, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We praise you and thank you for the marvelous gift of eternal life, which is ours in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.